Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Everyday Bitcoin, a new Bitcoin podcast focusing on Bitcoin as adoption and or Bitcoin's adoption and its use as money, the new everyday money standard. Today's episode, we're recording on November 6, 2025, or around block height 922,483, at a current price of 102,000, about 64 US dollars. Price is going down, obviously, because people are selling and not buying at the moment. But that's not really that important. But what is important is that today I'm here with a friend of mine, Meta Meek, the CEO, co-founder, one of the co-founders of Geyser. So welcome to the show, Meek.
Hey, guys. Excited to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I think this will be episode number 4. So very happy to have you here, making history here at the Everyday Bitcoin. So one of my first, before we actually get into it, the big question I have is why the name Geyser?
Good question. So it was Stelios's idea in the early days, my co-founder Stelios, and he's like, why not Geyser? And I just loved it. It sort of evokes this feeling that there's this pressure, right, that builds up. And then it just shoots up in sort of beautiful display of not pyrotechnics, but like aquatechnics. And so it's this similar feeling to kind of the idea behind crowdfunding, which is like the pressure of all this community coming together to make one thing happen and sort of have impact, and you can see that impact. So that's the kind of the idea. And I think it still kind of makes sense. It's still a bit like abstract and it's not necessarily super direct, but there's a sort of feeling of like power, you know, nature, kind of organic thing that just happens and through the community and builds up and you can see the impact taking place.
Cool. Yeah, I assumed it was something along those lines. I think it's a cool name, and it's kind of it sparks some curiosity. And I think I love how the logo incorporates the lightning logo. I mean, I guess the people listening can't see, but I'm wearing a Geyser shirt right now.
Yeah.
And the logo incorporates the
lightning strike. And I think that's Bitco. In the early days, he just reached out saying, hey, can I help you? Actually, I think I reached out for something. And he's like, I think you guys could improve on your logo. And then he just did this amazing piece. And I think he said that this is one of his favorite logos. He's done a lot of logos for a lot of Bitco companies. And yeah, I think it's still good. It's still, you know, it still works. I think we definitely have ideas of how to improve it at the moment, but yeah, we're not prioritizing that at the moment. But yeah, it's kind of cool. It still has the lightning, and we were born in the early days of like the sort of lightning ecosystem 2022, in which, you know, there are all these like lightning startups now it's a little different. I think space has changed a bit. But every Lightning company had the Lightning logo.
Yeah. So you said 2022 was when Geyser, like what's the Geyser origin story, I suppose?
Yeah, so the origin story is basically, you know, I was working originally more with banking, then I joined a friend of mine working on a company that ended up pivoting to Ethereum. I sort of found myself like, as a Bitcoiner, I was like, what am I doing here? And at the same time, noticing all these Bitcoin in Lightning system running it, I was starting to run my node, and I was like, I think this could really be the future of how Bitcoin is actually scales to the world. This is how people bring Bitcoin to the world. And I thought, well, Lightning will be the layer which most people will be interacting with Bitcoin. So Lightning seems to be like the obvious place to be building on, and it's like this open, vast playing field. And then I noticed all these people with all these different projects, like these Bitcoiners that had ideas of like projects to launch, and books and hardware devices and like fundraisers of different sorts. And there was no easy way for people to fundraise at the time. There was a tool called Tallycoin, which was pretty cool, but it was just on chain. People couldn't, you know, send really small payments. It wasn't as smooth. And I thought Lightning is really the way forward here. Yeah. So how do we bring it together? And I reached out to Stelios, who I had been in touch with for some time. We met on Twitter, on Bitcoin Twitter. And yeah, together we decided to embark on this journey, and you know, we were able to build it out in a sort of in a lightning native way. Yeah, sort of, you know, we grew a lot in 2023. There was a lot of activity. Then Nostr came along, you know, activity sort of continued to grow, although a little bit more slowly in terms of like what's been happening over on the Bitcoin space. There hasn't been like a massive new input of people into the ecosystem. But overall, it's you know, really, overall, really important, I think, valuable tool that the community uses to fundraise really important causes, really important educational efforts, you know, creative ideas. So it's, yeah, basically, it's really a hub for Bitcoin projects, really, for the community.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome. And it was one of those things that when I first found out about it, I was like, oh, there's such an obvious, like, massive use case for Bitcoin that just, like, you kind of don't think about or notice till you, like, it's like right there. It's like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that?
That's so, right.
Yeah. So do people mostly donate via Lightning, or do they also do on chain, or what's the
Yeah, the activity on Lightning has grown a lot in the last 3 years. We went from having, I think it was around, even in terms of volume, it was like 80% on chain, 20% Lightning in the very beginning. Right. And then we swap everything to Lightning. But now it's, even the volume is like, I think 60% Lightning or 50% Lightning. But then in terms of the number of transaction, yeah, it's like 90+% Lightning activity. Yeah.
Okay. So 90, vast majority via Lightning, but the distribution is about half, 50-50.
Yes. On-chain. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. On-chain is still great for bigger amounts.
Yeah, for sure. Which is great. And then do you have stats on like the growth over the years in terms of, I guess, total funding that people have been donating?
Yeah, I think we've amassed around 43 Bitcoin in terms of funding through Geyser since the last few years. So yeah, it's like, yeah, it really varies quite a bit as a use case, but it goes between $30 and like $100,000 a month, more or less, in terms of total funding on the platform. Yeah, it kind of varies really by month, varies by the type of project that grows. And yeah, I think overall, you know, Geyser is really growing at the edges of adoption. You know, the Bitcoin community has like fragmented, it seems, in different places. You know, you have Twitter still there, but like it's a bit more Wall Street-ish, you know, like a little bit more, yeah, like, I don't know, sort of, I don't want to say mainstream, but like it's quite, I don't know, a sanitized cyberpunk culture, you could say. Maybe this is an incorrect interpretation, is the feeling I have. Nostr is still trying to retain a bit of that, like, you know, edgy, you know, underground culture somewhat. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, there's been a few splinters. And then I just think overall there was a really massive influx of new Bitcoiners. But we haven't really seen that yet in this cycle. As I say, Bitcoin exists at this really weird, uncanny valley of, like, on one hand, you know, Wall Street bros are sort of getting into Bitcoin. You have BlackRock. And then on the other hand, you have, like, the street vendor and El Zonte, or, you know, Bitcoin Berlin, El Salvador. And love your thoughts on that, too. But it seems like, yeah, it's like edging a little bit more in the mainstream and in the West as well, but a lot slower, I feel, or at least in terms of different use cases, right? Where in the West, it's really still a type of saving and not really using the type of money. But yeah, it's territorial warfare here in terms of, like, you know, where the growth happens, how it happens, but it's a funny thing. It's a funny thing, right? And, you know, Everyday Money podcast, like, you know, I guess we'll get into this.
Yeah. I agree. I think it is kind of cool how it works. I guess it's the nature of money in general. But it's interesting because I guess in terms of like the fiat currencies that we've, you know, lived with our whole lives and have grown up with, you haven't, I mean, we were both born, and people before us, many before us, were born when it was already ubiquitous everywhere in society. It was like already the fabric of the monetary system. But now we're obviously witnessing the birth and the rise of a completely new and disruptive money that's creating a new monetary system. So it's, I guess, cool to see and to be part of the birth and the growing phase of the new, what we presume to be the new and future, you know, currency and money of the world. And just to see how it grows, as you said, like small people, like merchants, like, well, just the everyday person like us and the coffee stands in El Zante, from all the way to even like just buying, like I've bought like bracelets and stuff in El Zante from the street guy, which is really cool. The last person you'd think that would accept Bitcoin, but actually they do. Just the regular person on the street selling you their jewelry.
Yeah.
But then them meeting the, what you said, like the Wall Street, the suits, institutions that are coming in. So it's interesting to see it take a step back.
Which, by the way, not bad. It's just an interesting observation. I think a lot of people are critical of that. But I don't think it just... Yeah, just it's part of maybe the, I don't like the term the Bitcoin as being inevitable. I don't think it's inevitable. How it happens really greatly impacts its true vision. But yeah, it's just, I think there is an insight here, I think, when it comes to just thinking about like how do people perceive Bitcoin and use it, right? And I think so everyday Bitcoin really comes with the perspective that Bitcoin is everyday money that you use. Mm-hmm. I think it's for a lot, it's a really hard pill to swallow. And like you said, there's a sequencing to it. People start with savings, and then in time you learn to actually use it.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And it's all obviously, everyone's journey is different because everyone's in a different, well, live in a different country, in a different financial situation. So like for us in the Western world, it's more so seen as an investment, while other places of the world, it's actually being used as money. And in some parts of the world, obviously, like it's completely necessary to just not be destroyed by, you know,
right,
your irresponsible government just, you know, stealing right. all your money through inflation. But I agree. It's not bad that the institutions are here. I mean, I guess Bitcoin is not inevitable. But if you, the big players coming in for Bitcoin to reach to grow, it, I think that part is inevitable. Obviously, if it's going to become the new global monetary layer, then obviously it's inevitable that everybody actually comes, not just the non institutions.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, if we want to really reach those levels and see Bitcoin really truly succeed, then we do need everyone, including the big institutions, to hop on board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
Agree. And I guess for the Geyser's case, I feel like the average Bitcoiner maybe wouldn't use it. Well, I mean, how do I say this? I don't know. But the people, I guess the Westerners, the people that view it as an investment probably won't, unfortunately, donate because they're gonna like, oh crap, I can't sell my Bitcoin. And then the Bitcoiners that truly there's not a wrong way to obviously use Bitcoin. Everyone's free to use
I think that's fine. I think that's totally fine. I think we have to respect, like, we all have opinions, right? I have opinions, you have opinions, but then there is a reality. And do you want to be right or do you want to be rich? Sort of, you know, like we have to accept the reality of things as they are. And right now we are in the phase of Bitcoin as a store of value. That's the predominant narrative. That's the reality of it. We have to deal with it, especially if you're building a business. That's why we built credit card payments on Geyser some time ago. But it turned out that the current, the implementation, the way that we implemented it was not ideal. We implemented it by basically enabling a fiat payment to basically be swapped to Lightning, so the creator receives Lightning.
Okay.
We did that for several reasons, but it turns out the UX is not great. There's, in some cases, on the second payment, you need to KYC as a contributor as well. And so And then also, like, the creators have to, like, kind of opt in into doing it. And so it hasn't really worked and also maybe there's a branding thing. People don't know about it, that it's possible on Geyser. So they come into Geyser knowing that it's going to be Bitcoin payments. But we're going to try harder and bringing fiat more like working, better working solution for fiat payments.
Okay.
So that, look, ultimately it's about impact. You know, ultimately it's about, we built Geyser in the first place because we want to show the world that it was possible to use Bitcoin to as money actually, and to send payments around the world, and the power that Lightning we built for all of this. But ultimately the spirit and the initial drive was to enable meaningful impact, improve people's lives through donation. There was a project by Rodrigo in El Salvador who did a beautiful graffiti and raised $3,000 to get, you know, 20 different artists from around El Salvador to come to Berlin and paint fill the city, the town with graffitis. And that just made life better, made the life, the town more artistic,
yeah.
Made the town more cultural. That's what Geyser was about. It's about enabling positive change to people in the world. Now, if that's by paying in Bitcoin, amazing. If that's by paying with fiat, that's also fine. It just so happens that Bitcoin is overall the better system, but not for everyone. Sometimes, like you say, like people want to save in Bitcoin, they want to spend it, so they should be able to use fiat. The problem is that in some countries, you know, Stripe is not available, right? So Bitcoin becomes the only way. It's just about finding that balance, right? Between the reality of like how people use it, but also the ultimate use case and impact we wanna see.
Yeah, I agree. And I think at least for me, sometimes it's I won't say hard, but sometimes I have to remind myself that like there is no correct way, there is no right way, there's no wrong way to use Bitcoin. Obviously, you and I are both in the mindset that it's money, everyday money should be used as such. So sometimes I get caught up in thinking like, oh no, you're not using it wrongly, but like you should be spending it, you should be using it as money, as currency, I guess, not because it is money, has a store of value, but you know, as currency rather than just hodling it. But obviously, gotta remember that everyone can do what they want, and that's part of the design.
It's tough. Like the terrain is tough, and right now, for a lot of Bitcoiners that are storing the wealth in Bitcoin, they don't want to be making transactions in Bitcoin and paying capital gains in the countries that they're in. And it's like I understand, right? So there are some real challenges. I'm not saying it's easy to use Bitcoin right now. Will it improve in the future? I don't know. I hope so. But hope is not a strategy. So we have to like be real with how, you know, the payment landscape is changing. So, you know, how is it changing? Then you have to ask yourself, well, I think there's two things are going to happen, right? One is, you know, fiat, whether it's stable coins or, you know, current bank accounts, are going to be either backed more by Bitcoin or are going to be leveraging Bitcoin through loans. And then people are going to interact in this odd way where Bitcoin is digital gold, fiat is everyday money, like ancient Rome had the dual metal system, right? Gold was like the money of the rich, hoarded gold, and then everyone else sort of was using, well, people were using bronze and silver for everyday payments. And you know, the reality of that is, it's like it's a cultural thing. It's kind of ingrained in our psyche. This idea that, you know, good money you do not spend, bad money you do. But if you're a Bitcoiner, you also know that Bitcoin is infinitely divisible, and you can use your Bitcoin as money as well. There's no reason. In fact, the less exposure you have to fiat, the better.
Exactly.
So really the only challenge, but still a lot of Bitcoiners now, there's this whole new wave of like using Bitcoin as collateral to then get your fiat loans, which, you know, in some ways genius. So you either pay the interest fee of like what, 5 to 10% on your loan, or you spend Bitcoin and pay a 20 to 30% capital gains fee on spending your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Either way, neither of these are ideal scenarios. An ideal scenario is a world where there are no capital gains on Bitcoin, and we have to think, okay, when is that even happen? And then, because I think that's the last battle. That's one of the last battles, if it gets solved, you really don't have any more of the problem. There will be so much money that will get unlocked because the fiat world is crumbling, and you have this new class of wealth holders that is looking to cash in the value of like the in terms of like quality of life, wanting to cash in their quality of life. And at some point, I think the capital gains thing will fall and will create finally a new wave of the Bitcoin economy, right?
Yeah.
I think we're just in uncanny middle way where like you have to use Bitcoin as leverage and you have to pay like 8%, 5% fee, or you pay your Bitcoin and you pay 20, 30, 40% capital gains. It's just this weird moment we are in the Bitcoin adoption story.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And hopefully, I mean, that's all obviously completely dependent on everyone's jurisdiction where they're living. But hopefully, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. Hopefully sooner than later, at least in the U.S. here, and hopefully also for you, that the countries get rid of the capital gains. At least now in the U.S., it's like being thought of maybe like $600 limit or maybe $1,000 or $2,000. Obviously, the higher, the better. And obviously, in general, getting rid of capital gains overall is awesome and the goal, but I don't think that's realistic as like to think about happening first. I think it would be something smaller first, and be $1,000 limit, everything below $1,000 not taxed. And I agree entirely, that would totally unlock a massive amount
of, if they did that would unlock a lot of consumption, I think,
for sure.
I mean, I don't know how, if that would be meaningful, probably need another a lot more wealth creation through Bitcoin to make it meaningful. But that would unlock a lot of consumption, a lot of economic activity. It'd be good for the economy, but I wonder at what point does that happen? It is a really good way to attract people to the country and expand. So I think probably tourism destination might be the first to do that potentially.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
I don't know. These are my current thoughts. Speaking of things, as I think about it, but I do think that that's the next big fight that we can kind of organize around. I know there's a lot of like BTC Policy UK, a lot of like the advocacy groups are doing a lot of work on trying to getting that done. So we have to support them and push them to make it happen.
Agreed. Wait, so there is a Bitcoin policy in the UK, because I know there's obviously one here in the US.
Yes, BTC Policy UK, I think it's called.
That's good to know. I'm not surprised, but it's good to know. But yeah, hopefully sooner than later, I don't know, maybe in the next couple of years, at least my country and our countries, their capital gains situation will change. And I could tell, because when you talk to people, they're like, why don't you use it or why don't you spend it? It's usually either A, because like, you know, they don't want to miss out on gains, or two, it's the capital gain thing. So I don't know if that's just an excuse, or I guess we'll see when the day comes if that's just an excuse people are using or if it's actually just like the valid reason. But hopefully sooner than later. Yes. And I know we don't have too much time left for short rip today, so I don't want to miss up on one of the key things about Geyser. So what is the difference? Can you explain between this? Because there's campaigns, there's fundraisers, there's obviously shopping, and then there's also grants. Can you like walk through, I guess, the different how people or how creators are using Geyser in terms of like raising money in these different categories?
Absolutely. So yeah, so Geyser is really all about making ideas happen. It's all about empowering, you know, new creative ideas, new, you know, product ideas, and also important causes and campaigns. So currently Geyser really operates through like, it's like a fundraiser, right? So you contribute to a project and the funds go straight to the receiver, to the creator. You can also sell products on Geyser. A lot of people sometimes don't know that, but you can actually like almost pre-sale products like Kickstarter kind of model. But again, and even in that case, the money goes straight to the creator. The money, you buy something, money goes straight to the creator. But as we had that, we realized really there's a problem here, because in some cases you buy a product, but actually it still needs to be built, but the money that they receive for the product doesn't reach the minimum that they would need to actually make it happen. So for example, say a book order is like $5,000 or $10,000 for like a few hundred books. Well, if you only reach $1,000, you're gonna have to be, as a creator, you're gonna have to be paying the difference from your own pocket. And so this creates a sort of a disalignment, which leads also a lot of contributors to not support these projects because they don't know if they're gonna reach the goal. So that's why we're building campaigns. Campaigns are sort of all or nothing model, where the funds are actually stuck until the goal is reached. If the goal is reached, the money goes to the creator. If the goal is not reached, the money goes back to the funders.
Okay.
So it's really the Kickstarter model built on Bitcoin, and we're building it in a non-custodial way, where we're using rootstock smart contracts. So the Lightning contributions, on-chain contributions are swapped into rootstock BTC, and then they enter a smart contract, and the funds are essentially locked in until the goal is reached or not reached. So we're working on this, working really hard on making it happen, ideally by the end of the month, this month, November.
Cool.
Basically all the product sales of like the great products that we're seeing live on Geyser show also on the shop. So if you're just looking to buy cool Bitcoin merch and products, you can go on the shop section. You can look at what are the cool products that are launching, what are the things that you could buy basically. And then when it comes to grants, so grants is like a side product right now on Geyser, but in the coming months we'll be actually turning it into like a separate product altogether, like a standalone product, and also rebrand it as well. And the idea is that we want to make it easy for people that want to support specific initiatives through funding to like add their own grants or bounties that people can apply to and then get the money from the grants or bounties. So far we've launched, I think, around 16 grants overall, some with Bitcoin conferences, some with like Bitcoin Beach, some important players in the field. And yeah, you basically launch in the coming, you could basically launch your grants or bounty. We list it, people can apply to it, and the whole kind of grant management thing that is currently not yet fully finalized, but if you're interested, you can reach out to me and we can help you get set up with the grants. So far we've distributed almost 4 Bitcoin in grants, for Bitcoins and grants. And you need to create a project on Geyser to launch a grant, to apply for the grants, but down the road it'll be a lot more straightforward and simple. You'll just fill out a form.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Yeah, I was curious to know where the Bitcoin was held.
The Bitcoin is, this one's either held by the creators or the creators send it, the grant creators send us the funds and we can then deploy it.
Okay, very cool. And what was I gonna ask? Oh my god, I literally had the question in my mind that just went away. yeah, what a weird feeling. I forgot what it was. Yes. Oh my god, my brain just malfunctioning.
I said a lot there. Sorry.
No, it's
but,
fine.
But yeah, guys, it does a lot. But ultimately, with this new release this week, this new user interface, that my hope is really simplifies the Geyser discovery experience, and also clarifies what Geyser is. And it's ultimately about making, having impact, making change in the world, positive change, through fundraisers and campaigns, and buying and selling products.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And then how does, yeah, I remember. So how do the Guardians, well, I guess one, what is the Geyser Guardians and how do they factor into everything?
Yeah, so Geyser Guardians is really just like our line of Geyser merch. It's something that you can build you can buy to support our mission, support Geyser, and also our creators. A portion of the funds go to the Geyser creators. And ultimately it's a beautiful display of limited edition collectibles, including t-shirts, jerseys, collectible cards made from Bitcoin trading cards. And then also like a BitAx miner that you can purchase on Geyser to really support what we're building, to support our mission.
Ah, okay. I thought there was maybe something, maybe I was conflating it with Fetty's Guardians thing and that they play a role in the vitamins, but yeah, I guess it makes sense.
It's a lot more, yeah, it's really just aesthetic and okay. A way of supporting Geyser through buying of these things. Yeah, there's no like federation or, we thought about that, but we thought of keeping it really simple. The best way to support our mission and become a guardian is really just buying our merch and help Geyser be sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Very cool. And then do you know, I guess, because I think, what do all like the Bitcoin circular economies have Geyser fundraisers?
We do have a lot of circular economies on Geyser. Let me see here.
Which is actually how I found out about it. I found out about Geyser through the BTC Geyser fund.
Yeah.
And are they one of the biggest, creators, but some of the biggest, what's the opposite cases. Of a contributor? Yeah, okay, yeah.
There are a lot. I think it probably is. We have hundreds of circular economies on Geyser.
Okay.
It's a really powerful tool for circular economies. If you're interested in setting up a hub, Bitcoiners all around the world will support you through contributions and other ways to get started. And then what we've seen the circular economy is doing, they're mainly doing onboarding of merchants. They're doing educational courses, sometimes for free using the Primer Bitcoin diploma or other diplomas to basically educate your community. Sometimes they also like employ people, they have cafes, they have bars. And it's just a really, think about it like as like a local church, a little church of Bitcoiners,
yeah.
Where you can support them and then they can orange peel their own local community. So it's a really important, really powerful way for communities to come together and get support from the Bitcoin community and really spread adoption locally.
Yeah, solid. And the sats will flow, must flow. Unfortunately, I guess we should wrap it up because we both have to go. But it would have been, it's a bummer because I had more things to like, talk about. Maybe we could chat again sometime. But before we wrap, is there any place, anywhere you'd like to send anybody to or to learn more? Obviously, I'll put links in the description and everything.
Yeah, follow us on geyser.fund, on X, on Noster, on Instagram. And yeah, just you know, go, if you want to support the Bitcoin ecosystem, one key way you do that is just get started. You know, launch your idea, play a part in this movement. Don't sit on your laurels. Bitcoin adoption is not inevitable. We have to make it happen through our actions. Mm-hmm. So you can think about launching a project on Geyser. Maybe it's that book you had in mind of that story. You'll be surprised how many Bitcoiners want to support each other through different types of projects and storytelling, or even just contribute to those who are launching projects, spreading education, and help empower them through your sats.
Yes.
So yeah, I urge you to support everyone. Yes, sir.
Yes, great message. So everyone listening, check out geyser.fund, and feel free to contribute if you have the capabilities to do so. But there's a lot of interesting projects on there and support the local economies, the circular economies, like BTC Isla. Just the shout out to BTC Isla. But yeah, Geyser's really cool, and it's been interesting to watch it grow. Meek and I met, 8 months ago in El Salvador, and it's been really cool.
That's right,
really
on
cool.
The beach, on the waves.
In the ocean. We met in the ocean in El
Zonte. That's so funny. True.
Yes, but yeah, everyone, check out Geyser, and thank you so much to Meek. Thank you for coming on. Unfortunately, a little short rip today. Both got to go, but...
good, man. I understand. Pleasure. Thanks cool. again.
Well, yeah, thank you again, and thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Awesome. Cheers.